The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Here ends our text. I like those Believe It or Not books. Believe it or not, James LeVer sneezed 690 times in succession. A housefly wings beat 19,800 times a minute, believe it or not. Believe it or not, the temperature in Siberia ranges from 154.4 below zero to 102.2 above. Believe it or not, the baptism of our Lord was at one time bigger than Christmas. You probably have an easier time believing in the sneezing man, the housefly's wings, and the temperature in Siberia than you do this. That's because you don't see how amazing our Lord's baptism was. This event has several believe it or not aspects to it. Believe it or not, the Holy Jesus is baptized by the sinful John. Our text doesn't just say that John was baptized by John, but literally under John. Under indicates a humbling of Jesus, a submitting to John's authority. This is amazing. John himself declares that he's so far beneath Jesus that he's not fit to do for him the task of the most menial slave: remove his sandals. Matthew tells you that John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, I have need under you to be baptized. Why doesn't this amaze you the way it did John? Why is it so easy for you to believe that Jesus was baptized under John? Because you don't realize that the only way for John to baptize Jesus was for Jesus to confess sins. Our text says that those who were baptized by John were confessing their sins. Now don't think that Jesus was standing in the Jordan not saying anything. No, John can't baptize unless Jesus, like all the others, confesses sins. Jesus did confess, and John did baptize him. Baptism is for sinners, and baptism gives the Holy Spirit to all who are baptized. This is no mock baptism. The Spirit descended on Jesus as he does on all the baptized. The only difference is he made a visible entrance here, coming down on Jesus in the form of a dove. Now try to get your head around that. Holy Jesus is God the Son, one eternal God with Father and the Spirit, yet believe it or not, he gets the Holy Spirit in baptism. This is not the end of the amazing things. Believe it or not, heaven tears open. Only Mark describes it that way. Matthew and Luke report heaven being opened, but Mark describes a violent tearing of the boundary that had been erected between man and God since man first sinned in Eden. What men have been trying to do since the Tower of Babel, open up heaven, God does decisively at the baptism of Jesus. The Advent prayer, which we take from Isaiah 64:1, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, well, it's answered in the baptism of Jesus. People always look towards the heavens for help, don't they? Watch athletes who've made a good play. Watch actors who receive an award. Watch ordinary people rescued from harrowing circumstances. What do? They look heavenward. They point towards the heavens. Believe it or not, those heavens, which can seem impervious to our prayers, cold to our needs, frighteningly mysterious in regards to our future, those heavens tear open at the baptism of Jesus. And who comes tumbling out? Believe it or not, it's the Holy Trinity. We see the Son standing in the water. We see the Spirit descending out of heaven in the form of a dove. And we hear the Father speaking out of heaven. I don't know what is more amazing here. To see the Holy Trinity or to see the Holy Trinity on this wretchedly sinful earth. People fuss over, they stumble at, and they ridicule the mystery of the Trinity. But there it is, right before our eyes. At one and the same time and place, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now this wasn't lost on the early church either. They would respond to those doubting the Holy Trinity with, go to the Jordan River and you will see the Holy Trinity. Seeing the Holy Trinity is certainly a believe it or not type event. But so is, perhaps even more so, seeing the Holy Trinity on this sinful earth. Why isn't the earth quaking and baking? Why isn't fire raging? Why isn't something happening like in Raiders of the Lost Ark? Why aren't eyeballs frying and heads melting? This is the one eternal God of whom the four beings in heaven say 24/7 from all eternity to all eternity, holy, holy, holy. Here is this holy God on earth in the midst of sinners and his holiness that killed animals on Mount Sinai and killed Uzziah when he accidentally touched the ark. His holiness doesn't kill anyone here, believe it or not. All of these amazing things made the baptism of Jesus a grand day in the early church. But we've yet to reach the most amazing thing, the thing that makes sinners cherish, relish, celebrate, and meditate on this event. Believe it or not, Jesus is baptized for our sakes, not his. When Jesus stood in those muddy, fetid waters of the Jordan confessing sins for all to hear, those sins were yours, he was confessing, not his. He had none. Here Jesus takes responsibility for your sins, for their shame, for their number, and their guilt. Say them out loud in your mind because Jesus spoke them out loud in baptism. The embarrassment, the blame, the pain, the filthiness you know and feel connected with your sins, you should see these as all being washed off of you unto Jesus. Jesus took responsibility for your sins in his baptism. Therefore, your sin can be washed away from you, off of you, in your baptism. Randy Travis has a song that illustrates this wonderfully. The title of the song is Pray for the Fish. In the song, a notorious sinner, Eddie Lee Vaughn, is being baptized. The song describes what happened next. The fish started jumping. It was like they was swimming in a lake of fire. Then Eddie's mama stepped out of the crowd and started yelling out loud, pray for the fish. They won't know what's coming when the sins start rolling off the likes of him. Pray for the fish. That's what happened in your baptism. Your filthy, disgusting sins were washed away in a flood of water applied to you in Jesus' name. But that's only because Jesus took responsibility for your sins at his baptism. The Son of God, because he was sinless, sanctified the waters of baptism. The early church used that imagery frequently. By allowing his holy body to be baptized, Jesus transmitted his holiness to the water that would be used in your baptism. As the baptismal waters running off us carry our sins away from us and into the water where the fish are, so his baptism carried his holiness into the water, making it a divine water, rich in grace, a washing of rebirth, and a renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now you know why heaven was torn open at the baptism of Jesus. Before that, the Holy Trinity had to remain separate from sinners, lest sinners die. Now that Jesus takes responsibility for not only our sins, but for fulfilling God's law, it's safe for the Holy Trinity to be among sinners. The one eternal God can't wait to get back to us. Like a father long separated from his beloved son, children, so he rips heaven open and he comes down. The only sinner the Holy Trinity sees in all of the world is the man Jesus standing in the Jordan. Well then, if that's true, how can the Father declare this one, covered with the filth, shame, and guilt of our sins, his beloved Son? And how can he say he is well pleased with him? Believe it or not, the Father is well pleased with him because he's covered with sins. Because he's taking your sins away from you. Isaiah says a similar thing. He says the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Now what a barbaric thing to say of a father about a son. But believe it or not, that testifies to how much Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want to redeem you. How badly they want to deliver you from your bondage of your sins. How much they want you to share everlasting life with them, even at the expense of the Son. However, there can be no everlasting life without the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to have the breath of life in your body. You need the Spirit of God to live forever. But how could the Holy Spirit dwell with sinners like us? He can't. That's why Jesus was given him in baptism. As true God, Jesus is one eternal God with the Father and the Spirit. As true man, however, he can be given the Holy Spirit. And as the only holy man that has ever lived, the Spirit could dwell with him without destroying him. Now the Spirit of God dwells with the man Jesus. But Jesus doesn't need the Spirit to be saved. We do. So the problem remains. How can sinners like us be given the Holy Spirit? Believe it or not, it's by Jesus taking our place under the law's requirements and punishments. In our place, Jesus does what we cannot do. He doesn't lose his temper like we do. He doesn't lust, mistrust, or lie. But then, believe it or not, the Father treats him as if he did all those things and much worse. The Father crushes him, punishes him as if he were you. The Holy Spirit can only dwell with perfect people. In Jesus, what laws of God have not been kept? In Jesus, what do you still need to do before God can see you as perfect and holy? Believe it or not, nothing. Jesus did them all in your place. But there's more. In Jesus, which one of your sins has yet to be paid for? In Jesus, which of your sins was not completely covered by his blood? Believe it or not, there was not one sin of yours, no matter how keenly you remember it or how pointedly it sticks in your conscience, that Jesus did not carry to the cross, pay for there, and bury forever. The Spirit can land on Jesus because he's a perfect man. And Jesus can pour out the Spirit on men because he has completed the work of redeeming imperfect men. So once he ascended as a man into heaven, Jesus had the right as a man to pour out the Holy Spirit on all mankind. He did this to the church on Pentecost, and the church went out, distributing that Holy Spirit by baptizing and teaching. We have the Holy Spirit because Jesus got him as a man in his baptism and gave him to us in ours. So believe it or not, we have the Spirit that is always crying to God, Daddy, Daddy. We have the Spirit that can do more than any man, medicine, or machine. We have the Spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We have the Spirit, not of death, but of life, and not of merely earthly life, but everlasting life. No wonder the baptism of Jesus was such a big deal in the early church. They knew, whether anyone believed it or not, that something big had happened to Jesus, which meant something even bigger to all those in Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.